Have you ever found yourself trapped in a mental loop, replaying conversations or worrying about problems until you're emotionally exhausted? This isn't just ordinary worry, it's overthinking, a toxic cycle where negative thoughts expand and grow increasingly destructive. Susan Nolan Hoeksema calls this the yeast effect, like dough rising far beyond its original size. Minor concerns balloon into overwhelming problems. Women are twice as likely as men to fall into this trap, contributing significantly to higher rates of depression and anxiety among women. Overthinking takes three main forms: rant and rave, self-righteous anger about perceived wrongs, life of their own, entertaining multiple explanations for feelings until problems seem larger than reality, and chaotic overthinking, when unrelated concerns flood the mind simultaneously. Unlike productive reflection that leads to insights, overthinking distorts reality through what Nolan Hoeksema terms the distorted lens effect. When we overthink, our negative mood directs our attention exclusively to negative aspects of our situations, creating a tunnel vision that ignores any positive elements. 20 years of research reveals the devastating consequences. Overthinking magnifies stress, reduces problem-solving abilities, damages relationships, and contributes to serious mental disorders. One revealing study followed victims of the 1989 San Francisco earthquake. Students who were chronic overthinkers before the disaster showed significantly higher depression levels afterward, regardless of how much actual stress they experienced. Our brains are organized in interconnected networks that make overthinking almost inevitable. Stanford psychologist Gordon Bauer's research showed that memories are linked through emotional networks. Negative memories cluster together, while positive ones form separate networks. When we experience a negative mood, it activates these negative memory nodes, explaining why one worried thought about work can spiral into unrelated anxieties about childhood, appearance, and relationships. Modern overthinking has reached epidemic levels, with 73% of young adults identifying as overthinkers, compared to 20% of those over 65. This mirrors depression rates. Fewer than 20% of people born before 1915 reported serious depression, versus 40% of those born after 1955. Four cultural trends fuel this epidemic: a vacuum of values despite abundant choices, growing entitlement creating unrealistic expectations, reliance on quick fixes that mask deeper issues, and a belly button culture that promotes excessive self-analysis of every emotional fluctuation. Women are twice as likely as men to develop depression, with overthinking being a major factor. This pattern begins in adolescence and continues through adulthood across all demographics. Social inequities contribute significantly to women's stress. The gender pay gap persists, with women earning 74 cents to men's dollar, a disparity even greater for low-income workers and women of color. Working mothers often shoulder a second shift of household duties despite seeking help from partners. Women's stronger focus on relationships and broader emotional networks, while enriching, create more opportunities for rumination. Their higher empathy and emotional investment can lead to co-rumination, extensive problem discussions that can reinforce negative thinking patterns. Childhood experiences play a crucial role. Parents typically encourage emotional expression in girls while discouraging it in boys, often validating negative emotions without teaching coping strategies. This conditioning can establish lifelong rumination patterns. Breaking free from overthinking starts with effective distraction, particularly activities requiring concentration and physical movement. When ruminating at night, get up after 15-20 minutes instead of waiting it out. For location-specific overthinking, try changing your environment, organize your space, or temporarily relocate. When movement isn't an option, create mental interruptions, like Carolyn, who mentally shouted stop during meetings to halt relationship worries. Develop your own thought-stopping technique. Physical reminders or firm phrases like no can interrupt spiraling thoughts, creating space for better interventions. For persistent worries, schedule specific overthinking hours. This postponement technique frees your mind for immediate tasks, and often problems seem smaller when revisited later. Prayer, meditation, or mindfulness practices can help gain control over thoughts by creating distance from negative thinking. For persistent worries, writing down overthinking thoughts transforms abstract worries into manageable, concrete items. This process, what one woman called purging, helps distinguish between irrational fears and legitimate concerns. Once freed from overthinking's grip, focus on gaining perspective rather than avoiding problems entirely. Start by asserting your right to choose how you view each situation. Women often question whether their emotions, especially anger, are justified, struggling between self-assertion and avoiding conflict. The solution is accepting emotions without justification while choosing responses aligned with your goals. When Rhonda faced an unreasonable publisher, acknowledging her anger while responding strategically helped repair the relationship. Before creating complex narratives about feeling bad, consider simple causes: hormones, sleep deprivation, hunger, or isolated incidents. Address these basic needs first to prevent unnecessary rumination. While social comparison is natural, research shows unhappy people engage in it excessively, focusing more on relative performance than actual achievement. Breaking free requires developing internal standards and finding satisfaction in your own accomplishments. Identify your personal overthinking triggers, whether they're interpersonal conflicts or achievement setbacks. While we can't completely avoid these weak spots, we can structure our lives to minimize exposure. Consider Marla, a lab technician who declined a supervisory promotion, recognizing it would trigger her overthinking. Instead, she negotiated expanded technical responsibilities, advancing while avoiding her personal pitfall. Examine your long-held goals. They should be realistic, internally motivated, and minimize conflicts. When goals clash, like balancing career and family, consider modifying expectations rather than completely abandoning either pursuit. Make time for activities that generate positive emotions. Exercise, meditation, hobbies, even brief daily practices can boost mood and increase feelings of control, especially during monotonous or hectic periods. Avoid letting your identity depend on a single role. When self-worth hinges entirely on being a mother or career person, problems in that area become overwhelming. Instead, cultivate multiple roles aligned with your values to create resilience when challenges arise. Health problems and loss fuel overthinking by threatening our sense of control and challenging our belief in a just world. The uncertainty of medical conditions, from diagnosis to treatment, creates ideal conditions for rumination about mortality, identity, and the future. Michelle, a 33-year-old with breast cancer, developed coping strategies by creating detailed questions for doctors, having her husband document appointments, and seeking support. She channeled her overthinking productively by writing articles about breast cancer awareness and mentoring newly diagnosed patients. Research shows 70 to 80% of bereaved people eventually find positive meaning through personal growth and deeper appreciation for life. After her partner David's terminal brain cancer diagnosis, Alicia discovered unexpected strength. Following his death, she reflected that love had given her superhuman strength and profound appreciation for life. "I'm proud of what I've grown into." When thoughts become quicksand, remember we can break free. By interrupting negative thought cycles, gaining perspective, and finding meaning in dark moments, we can transform our relationship with our minds. The goal isn't eliminating negative thoughts, it's knowing when thinking serves us and when to let go. In that release, we often find the clarity and strength that overthinking obscures.